As we continue this morning looking at the 2019 ministry theme here, which is serve, we're focusing on serve and how we might serve each other, how we might serve God, how we might serve the world around us. I invite us this morning to look at the book of Galatians, Paul's letter to the church at Galatia, Galatians chapter 5, and I'll be reading the first 15 verses. And I'll remind us as I get ready to read Paul's words that Paul oftentimes is quite wordy, and sometimes he maybe speaks a little bit over our heads, and he also repeats himself quite a bit. So I'm going to help us this morning hopefully try to dig into this and get our minds around it better so that we can really try to get the grasp of exactly what Paul is wanting us to take away in the midst of all of his kind of fluffy language. So Galatians chapter 5, I invite you to hear now God's word. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Listen, I, Paul, am telling you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Once again, I testify to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obliged to obey the entire law. You who want to be justified by the law have cut yourselves off from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. The only thing that counts is faith working through love. You, and the you here is the church of Galatia, the Galatians, you were running well. Who prevented you from obeying the truth? Such persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough. I am confident about you in the Lord that you will not think otherwise. But whoever it is that is confusing you will pay the penalty. But my friends, why am I still being persecuted if I am still preaching circumcision? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would castrate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. But through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength, and our salvation. Amen. The word freedom is a noun, and in its noun form it means the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. So in the noun form, the word freedom is the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. We, in sort of an American culture, speak a lot about freedom. Our freedom of speech, our freedom of religion, our freedom and our independence as a country and as a nation. We speak about this freedom. We all deeply believe that because we are Americans, we are entitled to certain human, basic human rights. And we have the freedom to have access to those basic human rights. And so we speak a lot about freedom these days. And then sometimes we speak about that freedom and we might maybe be pushing the limits a bit. Because we then take this sort of freedom that has been given to us, and perhaps maybe we even abuse it a little. We might even say that we are entitled to anything that we might want. We talk a lot about freedom these days. Paul is talking here about freedom. He's talking about the freedom, the power, or the right to act or speak or think without hindrance or restraint. He's not, however, talking about our basic human rights. He's not speaking of our freedom of religion or our freedom of speech. Paul is talking about our freedom in Christ Jesus. Paul is speaking about our freedom in Christ Jesus. So an alternative definition for freedom is this: liberation. Liberation from slavery or restraint from the power of another. I think this might get a little bit at what Paul is also speaking about. Our freedom in Christ Jesus is liberation. It is what allows us to no longer be bound by the law, by the law of the Old Testament. Our freedom in Christ Jesus liberates us. It makes us free. We are no longer held by the power of a certain religious thought called the law. Paul talks about our freedom from the law. He says, "For freedom, Christ has set you free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." So we've been set free in Christ Jesus. We've been liberated. We've been made free. We are no longer bound by the law. We're no longer bound by the legalism, by the Pharisaic rules of religion. We have been set free through Jesus Christ. Now, the issue here that Paul brings up is the issue of circumcision. And for Paul, that was perhaps the church and the people of Galatia, the Galatians, that was what they were most kind of dealing with and struggling with, was this issue of circumcision. And if you chose to be circumcised, then somehow you were sort of submitting yourself to the law. You were saying, "I'm not quite ready to be free from the law." Because in an understanding of living in the law, you couldn't pick and choose which laws that you were going to follow. So if you looked in the book of Leviticus and you read all of the many laws of the Hebrew people, to submit to circumcision meant that you were going to also be faithful to every one of those other laws contained in the Old Testament. So it wasn't something you could pick or choose. It was all or it was nothing. And so Paul's saying to the people at Galatia, "I've taught you different. I've taught you different. This is not what's so important in your life anymore. You're not supposed to submit to the circumcision because that takes you back to the law. Brothers and sisters, you've been freed through the loving act of Jesus Christ." Now, perhaps, friends, perhaps you and I don't deal with circumcision as sort of our reflection of the law. And yet we have modern day contemporary reflections of a legalistic religious society. See if this might ring kind of true for you. You have to wear a certain thing when you come to church. You ever heard that? You know, you got to wear your Sunday best when you come to church. If you're going to come to church, you better be dressed a certain way. That's still being bound by the law. We've been set free by Christ Jesus. And I imagine God's got a whole lot of other things that God's concerned about than what we have on when we come to church. Maybe you've heard you got to know a certain thing. You've got to know certain things if you're going to be a Sunday school teacher. You've got to be able to recite these particular Bible verses, and you've got to have read the book from Genesis to Revelation. And if you haven't done that, then there's no way you're going to be a Sunday school teacher. That's being bound by the law. Our church, the church, has argued over the years about different races. And how races, different people of different racial and ethnic backgrounds, how they should be welcomed into the church. That's being bound by the law. The church over the years has argued and debated about gender equality. That's being bound by the law. The church over the year has argued and debated about marital status. Well, if you've been divorced, there's no way you're going to lead the youth group. There's no way you'll be a leader in the church. Friends, that's being bound by the law. I once entered a church that standing right behind their pulpit was their list of bylaws, the ways that they lived out their laws, and the ways that they believed if you didn't fit these descriptions, well, then you likely wouldn't find yourself sitting in their pews. Well, I got to tell you, I blew it on number one, because number one said that the leader of the church must be a man who only had one wife. That's being bound by the law. Christ Jesus has come to set us free from the law. Paul is speaking here about circumcision, but we can see and interpret it in a modern day context how we as the church still sort of find ourselves living in the law. So we have this choice to make. We have this choice, and that's the thing I think that keeps coming up over and over again about the word serve. We have a choice. We have a choice to become legalistic about our faith, to exclude and to push away, to say if you haven't, if you don't, if you won't, if you can't. Or we can choose to embrace the freedom that Jesus Christ has given to us. And that freedom, Paul says in verse 6, is faith working through love. We can choose to be bound by the law and be legalistic and have all kinds of shouldn't, couldn't, wouldn'ts, don'ts, and can'ts. Or we can receive the freedom Christ Jesus offers us and to have faith working in love. The faith working in love that Paul is speaking about is a faith working in love that points us straight to the cross of Jesus Christ. The faith working in love points us straight towards embodying as a church the kind of love that Jesus offered on the cross. Jesus' love on the cross was a selfless kind of love. It was a sacrificial kind of love. It freely, humbly, honestly gave love to all of humankind, as Christ gave his life on the cross. Friends, that is also where Christ set us free. Christ took our place from having to be bound by the law and bound by sin forever. And Christ took our place and set us free so that our faith in Jesus can be lived out working in love. Faith working in love. When Paul uses this word working, he's drawing on a Greek word that really also has behind it the understanding of energy. Faith working in love. Energy of love. Faith working in love. Energy of love. Paul almost exclusively uses this word, this working or this energy, to describe some power that's greater than ourselves at work in and through us. Are you with me? A power, an energy greater than us, working in and through us. We have been freed by Jesus Christ to allow God through the power of the Holy Spirit to work in and through us that we might work out our faith in love to our brothers and our sisters, that we might be freed to serve and to love, that we might not bind ourselves so tightly to the rules and the legalism that we tend to want to cling on to. We are invited to let that go and allow the energy of God to work in, through, and amongst us, because we have been freed to work our faith in love. In verse 13, though, Paul says to us, yes, brothers and sisters, you've been called to this freedom, but it's not for yourself. It's not for your self-indulgence. You've not been freed so that you can hoard and so that you can only take care of those things that you want to take care of, so that you can only serve and love those who you want to love and care for. No, Paul says this freedom is not for your self-indulgence. It is freedom that you might serve one another. You are freed to serve. God has given us so very much, brothers and sisters, that we are invited to respond with joyful service to the world around us. I think about the Good Samaritan law, that's in place in our world so that if a human being responds to another human being that's in some sort of a medical or situational emergency, we are protected. If we're acting out in good faith and trying to help them, we're protected. Paul is inviting us to know that we are protected by the love and grace of Jesus Christ, and we are invited to act out that through love to all of our human beings, brothers, sisters, and children of God. You may have heard me say before in a one-on-one conversation that I will always, always err on the side of love. I may not always know the right thing that I should do, and I certainly am not going to tell you the right thing that you should do, but if given the choice, I am always, always going to err on the side of love. Christ Jesus has set us free, so that we might love and serve one another. In our annual conference and at the beloved Camp Tekoa that many of us have had opportunities to go to, there is a tradition, a camp tradition for campers who have disabilities. Physical disabilities, mental disabilities, they're invited to come and participate in the fullness of the camp. It's called Camp Barnabas. Each of the campers, as they come, are paired with another ability-to human being who's able to help make sure they stay safe, who's able to help make sure that they get access to whatever care that they might need. That person is their buddy for the whole time that they're at camp. The times I've had the opportunity to sit back and watch Camp Barnabas in action, it is really one of the times that I see the greatest reflection of faith working out in love and a freedom to serve. Because in that kind of environment, there is true freedom to let go of the world, because our friends with developmental and emotional and mental disabilities, they don't have quite the understanding that some of the rest of us do about the legalism of the world. And so they are free to just be who they are. They wake up in the morning praising God. They wake up in the morning clapping for God. At lunchtime, they're clapping and they're eager and they're excited. And the people who are of different abled bodies, like many of us who are there to be their buddies, well, those friends are freed as well. They are freed to serve. At Camp Barnabas, it doesn't matter how you act or behave, if you're dancing, if you're laughing, if you're screaming, if you're jumping up on the table to just shout hallelujah to God. It doesn't matter because there's a complete freedom. We as the church are called to embody that kind of freedom because of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross for us. And when we embody that kind of freedom, we are free to love and serve our neighbors. We're not afraid. We're not afraid to reach out our hand. We're not afraid to offer a word of encouragement. We're not afraid to get down on our knees and love the least and the last and the lost. We don't worry about what we might come in contact with when we encounter the other. We simply live out our freedom in Christ through loving service. That's what Paul is speaking of here in the book of Galatians. And he ends with this, or the last verse that I read to us. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. You know, I think Paul understands that at the end of the day, we're human beings. And this freedom that we found in Jesus Christ is amazing and is wonderful. But we still have a human tendency to bite and devour and to speak harmfully of each other. So I think what Paul is saying is, friends, if we're going to disagree, if we're going to struggle with our brother or our sister, if we're going to want to enter into some sort of a debate, to take care how we disagree, to take care how we struggle, to take care how we debate, to not be overcome by our freedom, our right to speak our mind, that we forget to love the person in front of us. After all, we as good Wesleyans could remember what John Wesley said. We may not all think alike, and yet we can all love alike. I invite us to be freed to serve, freed to love each other and the world around us. The people we know, the people we don't know, the people we like, and perhaps especially the people we don't like. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.